scriptures, Lord, that we can call upon you and that you would hear our voice and answer our prayer. You said, Lord, call unto me and I will answer thee and shew thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Lord, you said in the Bible, to ask and ye shall receive, to seek and ye shall find, to knock and it shall be opened. Lord, there's been an emphasis on prayer in days gone by. And Lord, maybe, just maybe, your children today have been praying. But something has become between them and their prayer time. Lord, no doubt, as Miss Connie testified, they some that started reading their Bible through on January the 1st, started reading, make a commitment to know more and dig more in the Bible. But Lord, we might be sitting here with some folks today who something have allowed something or someone to come between them and the truth. Lord, you reminded us of Galatians when he said, whom hath hindered you? Sometimes it's people that hinder us. Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be humbled to hear the truth today. Help me to be a help to you, children, to preach in power. God, to be an encouragement, to see them, Lord, having laid their burdens down, to be walking out, hitting the high tops, Lord, as they leave. Lord, we love you and we need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read one verse in Nehemiah chapter 1. And then I'm going to turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. And I'll read one verse. Nehemiah chapter number 1 and verse number 1. The words of Nehemiah the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month of Kislew and the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace. Chapter number 4 and verse number 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. You can be seated. The Lord be my helper this morning. I want to preach on this thought. Don't quit. Amen. Don't quit. Amen. The Bible says here in our text this morning we're looking in a book that is named after its writer, this man named Nehemiah. I like this man named Nehemiah. He probably tells us more about right leadership and living for God in a wicked and corrupt generation. Nehemiah was never in Jerusalem when he was a baby. Nehemiah has been raised in captivity. By the time Nehemiah is in this position that God has providentially put him in, he is the cupbearer. He takes the cup to the king in the Shushan Palace. He has been providentially raised by godly parents. We know that he has a great knowledge of Jewish history. We know that he has a knowledge of Jewish heritage. In fact, we know that he has a knowledge of the hopes of God's people of going back. He has inquired. His daddy's name is mentioned in verse 1. He's also known in verse 2 to have at least one brother, but he said he's one among many brethren. His brother is one of those Jews, one of those people of God who have went back to Jerusalem with Ezra. At first time, there were 32,360 exiles that went back, not counting rulers and princes and people that were set up to worship and praise the Lord. They gathered as one man at Jerusalem, and they built the altar again. And my, how we need to gather together as one man and one mind with one mission to see the altars built. and to see a temple erected and to see the glory fall. You see, a lot of them have been raised in Babylon. They've been in captivity for 70 years. And by the time Nehemiah is born, they are captives. He's raised by godly parents to know Jewish history, heritage, and the hopes of Israel. But he's also raised to know God, because the Bible tells us he's a praying man. He prays in chapter 1. He prays twice in chapter 2. He prays twice in chapter 5. He prays 3 times in chapter 6 and 3 more times in chapter 13. He's a praying man. When he gets the message and his position, he has taken the cup to the king. He is in a place that has been providentially prepared. You say, preacher, the king picked him. I know the king picked him, but who you think touched the king? It's God that turns the king's heart wherever he wants it to, just like he turns Green River from the time it comes out the mountain down to where it hits over yonder and finally up in the ocean. It's God that turns it. And so God has providentially let him be in a position of authority and power under the king. He's tasting what the king tastes. He's drinking what the king drinks. He has to. He's protecting the king. And the king has to love him. The king knows his countenance. The king cares for him. Because in chapter 2, he recognizes that his countenance is changed. So he's interested to know how he's feeling. Nehemiah has developed a connection, but it's a connection that started long time before Nehemiah was ever born. God had placed him at this place. But Nehemiah, and yes, he has a place. He's a praying man. He is petitioning heaven. When he gets in this place and his brother comes back and he says this, the walls are torn down and the gates are broken. He says the wall of Jerusalem is broken, chapter 1, verse 3, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Nehemiah develops what I call, thank God, a hunger for some help. He got humble and he got broke about it. He didn't say, I'm sitting over here in the palace carrying the king's cup. My safety is secure. He's burdened about the homeland. He's not been raised there, but he's burdened about it. That's where he heard about the glory showing up. That's where the house of God is. That's where some of his brethren is. That's where half the people of God are. Hey, and for long, he's going to go. And he's going to be elected governor. He's concerned about it. And so the Bible says when he hears the news, the wall's broken down. Security's gone. And the gates are burned thereof. Then the Bible says, I know he's godly. And I know he's raised by godly parents. Because in verse number 4, he starts praying. He's a praying man, church. Prayer is the work that he wants and willingly performs. He prays before the building ever starts when the walls are broken down and he hears about it. He prays while the building's going on. You'll find out reading this book that he prays in the middle of the building. He prays after the building. He prays before the building. You'll find out in the book he prays privately. But you'll find out in verse number 16 or verse 11 that he prays with other people. I'm simply saying he's a man under a burden. He's got a mission. God has placed him there. He prays this. He prays 3 little things before I get done with the introduction. He prays this. He says, I pray God hear me. Why does he pray God hear him? Because he's a living God. Hallelujah. He ain't praying to some dead statue. Woo! He's not praying to some idol over yonder in captivity. He's talking to a God that can hear him. He's a living God. He says here, then he prays this, remember. Why does he pray the word remember? Because he says, remember the word you spoke to Moses. You know why he prays remember? Because God gave a word and God keeps his word. God always keeps his word. And he said this, he prayed for prosperity. Not for him to gain a bunch of money in the bank, but for the walls to be built. And so we gathered together over in chapter 4. Now I want you to look with me in verse number 1. Church, I'm trying to make sure we're on the same page. Y'all stay with me. Nehemiah has prayed for God to help them see the walls built again. There is gates burned. Y'all do remember in chapter 3, I mentioned it on Wednesday night, the very first gate that was built. See, the king sees his burden. The king says, go back and build them. And the king gives him letters. And when he gets over to that crowd that's wondering, what are they going to do? Nehemiah says, I just want to let y'all know two things in my life you need to know right now. Number one, God's hand's on me. And number two, the king's word's with me. He didn't say the king's word with me first. He said, God's hand's on me first. He said, I'm telling you, God sent me over here. He got some bad news, and he went to the throne room praying and fasting, and he got some help. And he went down there with the king's petition to build the walls and to set the gates back up. He is on a mission, and he gets down there to that crowd, and they're saying, what are we going to do? And Sanballat shows up. The devil, a picture of Satan. Oh, Sanballat and Tobiah shows up. And it's, I mean, they're just talking about the plans. They ain't even started laying yet. They're just talking about the plans. And Sanballat laughs at them. Sanballat mocks at them. And then Nehemiah says, hold up, God's with me, and the king's word is for me. And that Bible says they took help, and thank God they had a mind to work, and they went to building again. Hey, I'm saying this. Anytime you want to do something for God, the devil's going to show up. Don't quit. Don't quit when the devil shows up. He'll make you want to throw it. He'll laugh at you. He'll mock. Hey, but I tell you what you do. You just remember, you've got God's word. You've got God's ear. And you've got God's hand. It's God that's going to fight for you. You've got God's means, God's motive. Hallelujah! And you're God's man or God's woman. Can I say amen? And he gets over there, brother. And they had a mind to work, so they start building. Guess what gate they built first? I told you Wednesday night, they built the sheep gate. Hey, thank God these sheep came in one day. That's that one. He came over in John 5 to the pool of Bethesda. He came by the sheep market and the sheep gate. He started building that gate, and they had them lined up. And you read chapter 3, and they building this section, and this family's building this section, and this group's building this section. And I mean, they lined up one to another. Hallelujah. And it looks like God's work is going on. There is a movement. There's walls, churches. Thank God's coming together. Everybody's working together. But I want to remind you, we cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices. And that's what I'm trying to get to preach on this morning. Don't quit, church. Don't quit. The devil's a trickster. He's wily. He wants to ruin you. He wants to wreck you. The Bible says in chapter 4, verse number 1, and it came to pass when Sanballat heard. I just want to make sure everybody knows. First way the Lord showed me in this chapter 4 that I do believe this, Brother Jeremy. I believe it's that way every time when you start doing something for God that the devil's going to show his ugly face, and this is what's going to happen. He's going to have a rapid contentment for what you're doing. It ain't going to take him long. You see, the Bible says when Sanballat heard, I mean as soon as he heard about it, he's already mad at them for planning it. But he's sure enough mad now that they're making progress. There is a rapid contentment. Hey, when Sanballat heard, there's a rage in his contentment. Look what the Bible said in chapter 4 and verse number 1. When Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. Did y'all see that, church? There's a rage in his contempt. The devil can't stand it. Don't you think for one minute he's for you. He's not for you. And the world ain't for you. And it might be going your way. And it might look like all the waves is coming towards you. And you just out there enjoying the blessings. But don't forget about the undertow. That sorry rascal will jerk your feet out from under you. He hates you. He despises you. He wants to wreck every marriage. He wants to ruin every church. And how's he do it, preacher? How in the world does he do it? We're going to look at him today, probably this morning and tonight. But I want to tell you, this is when he does it. As soon as he hears it, he's mad about it. There's a repetition. I've already told you, he tried to stop him. He laughed at him in chapter 2, verse 19. Now he's doing it again in chapter 4 and verse 1. Can I just say this, church? You think he's left you alone for just a little bit? He ain't never going to show up again. If you serve God for any length of time, that sorry devil is going to come at you again. How do I keep from him coming my way? Well, don't do nothing. Sit around, do nothing. For God, you don't have to worry about it. Y'all remember when I preached that message on the wood toters? You know the only one the snake bit is the one who was gathering the wood. Can anybody say amen? Amen. I'm telling y'all, I don't care if you're so weak, you drag a twig in. For God's sake, bring something to throw it in the fire. Don't just suck up the heat off of somebody else's labor. You ought to work too. It's a collective work. Family by family, family by family. Some with a spear, some with a sword, with a trowel, and some with both at the same time. And they're working hand in hand. Amen. Hallelujah. And when trouble comes, a trumpet's blowed. The man of God will blow the trumpet and they'll rally together and drive the enemy back. But you're in it together. Everybody with me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. He hates you. He despises you. He rails on you. He said, preacher, how does he rail on you? I'm looking in chapter, you can see it all in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Here's what he does. First it says, look at the fitness. Look at the fitness of you. The fitness of them. Look what he says. He spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? They just little old weak folks. The fitness of them. They ain't strong. They're not masons. They don't know what they're doing. I may not know what I'm doing. And you may not know what you're doing. But I got a God that does know what he's doing. And he's got simple blueprints. A plus B equals C. 1 + 2 = 3. He knows we need it dumbed down. Can anybody help me in here? It ain't about your intellect. It ain't about your, hey, my God, you're not God's gift to humanity. Jesus was. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. Feeble Jews. Look at them old weaklings. Then he said, look how few they are. Look how few they are. He said, the feeble. And will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in the day? He said, look at them few workers. Will they fortify themselves? They ain't got enough people to keep them safe, much left keep them safe and work. They didn't know God had some folks that could go at it with both hands. Hey, I'm telling you, over in one place it says half of them held the spear and half of them held the trowel. And they did it from the morning till the night. And the Bible said they built all day and all night. He said, oh my, he said, there's too few of you. I know there ain't a lot of old time fundamental Bible believing Christians, but there is a good many crowd of us. And we may be a minority, but one blessed day we're going to be a majority before it's over with. You wait till the horn toots and we scoot. We gonna get out of here, and that crowd that mocked us and laughed at us, they'll say, I wish we's them. I wish we's them. Hallelujah. I believe that. Look at them feeble. Oh, they ain't but a few of them. Then look here, and he mocks them. Mocks them. He's mocking them. The Bible said he's laughing at them. Look what he says. Will they fortify? Will they sacrifice? Now he's mocking the faith of them. Oh, are they going to sacrifice? I'm going to tell you right now, when you start living for God, they'll mock how you give your tithe. They'll mock how you give the building fund. They'll mock how you give the missions. They'll say, my God, you got your, hey. They'll mock how you give up Sunday. Give up Sunday. I ain't give up Sunday. My God, I gained Sunday. I didn't even realize how good. I used to look forward to Friday. And now that I'm saved, I'm looking forward to Friday because it's 2 days from Sunday. Hey, thank God. Hallelujah. There ain't no sacrifice. And by the way, he said, he's mocking, making fun of their blood sacrifice. They may say that we don't take the blood. I'm going to tell you right now, it took the blood of Jesus to get any of us to heaven. My Lord, have mercy. There had to be a reason why the sheep gate was number one. That's the gate the Passover came through. And that's the gate the Passover came through. It's because the emphasis has always been on the blood. It takes blood, amen. Marked at them, their faith. Marked at the fervency. Look what he said. Will they make an end in a day? They act like I got to do it today. They act like I can't take time. Hey, I'm going to tell you, they'll make fun of you. But you at church Sunday morning and Sunday night. And you going back on Wednesday night. And you going down there to the revival meeting. And you what? You ain't got to go to every church service. You ain't got to be a part of everything going on. I'm going to tell you right now, ever since I was saved, it wasn't because I got called to preach. When I got saved, I want to be a part of everything. And I ain't trying to be funny, but it's the dead level truth. I didn't care if they was cleaning toilet bowls with a toothbrush, friend. I was there to do it. I was the only one. They was talking about needing somebody to clean the steeple. I volunteered. I thought I had to fight for somebody to do that. I got up there. I was the only one up there, brother. They hoisted that big pressure washer up on Welcome Home Baptist Church. Thank God I went to spraying, and then it got to hitting me what I was getting to do for Jesus. I hit the ground on the ridge and went to praying. Thank God for it. I know it. They got hooked in on the creek. Hey, man, they started ripping out briars, found an old rock. I jumped down off of church, ran over where they was, had prayer. I'm just saying. It didn't matter what it is, if it's picking up lint, scraping off chewing gum. Hey, I just want to do something for God. And I spent too many hours for the devil and for myself. I want to do it for God. The fervency of the workers. Now they made fun of the fabric of the walls. They said, are they going to revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Man, there's a whole other message on that. But let me just say this. You don't need no newfangled nothing. The stones is already there. Thank God. It might look like rubbish, friend. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this, church, we got to be wise to what the devil does. In chapter 4 and verse number 1, we realize he uses derision. Sambalat is mocking at the work of God. They are mocking at the workmanship of God's people. And they are mocking at the workmen who are doing the labor for the glory of God. They are going to mock the work. They are going to mock the workmanship. And they are going to mock, thank God, the workmen. They're going to make fun of you. But can I remind you what the Bible says? The servant is not above his master. And did Jesus not go in Mark 5 to raise Jairus' daughter? And when he gets over to the house, didn't he say, Brother Ken, didn't they say this? That when he got there, they was all weeping and making a big ado. And didn't the Bible say that they walked in? And the Bible says in Mark 5, about three verses from the last verse of Mark 5, that he, when he walked in, they laughed him to scorn. That means to despisingly mock you. That's what they did to the Lord. And if they done that to the Lord, you and I ain't no better than they are. Somebody say amen. They laughed at the Lord. They're going to laugh at you. Amen. Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. The world's always laughed at believers. Derision, mocking, scoffing. They mocked with hatred. The Bible said they had great indignation. That's what the Bible said. They mad. They hate them. They hate the people. They hate the progress. They hate the place. They don't want them doing nothing. And Hollywood's done that. Y'all don't remember this probably. There's an old movie called Cape Fear. It was a thriller movie. And you know that the killer in that movie was a Christian, had a cross tattooed on his back. And that's what Hollywood does. Hollywood tries to demasculize men, make them little feminine women. Somebody preach.
Yeah, right.
Somebody say amen. Somebody say, you ought to be a man. Amen. You ought not have lace on your underwear. That's free right there. Say amen. I'm telling you, you ought to be a man. It wouldn't hurt you to have a little manliness about you. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. I do know this, Brother Jeremy. Men's men ought to look like and act like and talk like men. And women ought to look like, act like, talk like women. Ain't got no business doing no other way. Amen. Ought to be able to walk down the sidewalk, see who they are. But that ain't what Hollywood does. Hollywood makes fun of you for doing that. They laugh at Christians. They mock any one of them actors ever stands up for God. They'll mock them. They'll tear them down. They'll try to find every bad thing about them. They'll go back to 1937 when they were 8 years old, find some little thing they done and try to tear them down. But can I tell you today, when the devil's crowds are mocking and when the world's a mocking, hey, can I tell you, God is a looking on. He said, that's my workman, and he's doing my workmanship, and he's doing my work. I'm going to take care of him. My hand's going to be on him. He'll have everything he needs. I say hallelujah. The church has always had its critics. Are y'all with me? Chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, there they are, Tobiah. There they are, Sanballat. The church crowd has always had their critics. Matter of fact, Jesus had his critics. Amen. But the church also has their king. Woo! We may have critics, but I'm glad we got a king. And by the way, if a church worth anything, they'll also have convictions. Hey, they had a conviction in this chapter. We're going to build this wall. We're going to get the work done. We're going to see the gates put up. I don't care how many Sanballats and Tobias. I don't care how many of the world. I don't care how many don't believe. We're going to keep working. The derision didn't work. You say, well, the devil left them alone. No. Then he tried discouragement. Look at chapter 4, verse number 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there's much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Did y'all say that? I'm not talking about the Sanballats. This is from within the ranks. But look what tribe it is, church. It's the tribe of Judah. Their name means, woo! That's the shouting ones. That's the praising ones. That's the one the Messiah's going to come through. Are y'all getting? That's the one that's camped out at the entrance gate of the tabernacle in the wilderness. Thank God they have a preferred place. Amen. The Messiah, the Jesus is coming through Judah. But it's that crowd, as if to tell us, as if for our information, that it don't matter how far you are with God, if you don't watch it, discouragement can bite you. That's what he's saying. The Judah said, well, we ain't got nothing but rubbish. We ain't got nothing but junk around here. And see, the devil can't get you with that derision by mocking and laughing at you. If he can't get you that way, mocking the work of the workman and the workmanship, if he can't get you that way, here's what he'll do. He'll cause something to happen from within the ranks. He'll cause people to start turning on each other inside the church. Hey, man, this is what they said. Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. There's always going to, church, look up in here at this preacher. There is always going to be people that is around you that's a part of the church collectively. God forbid, maybe even part of this local church who says we can't. who says we, that's what they said, we can't build a wall. They can't build the wall. We're not able to build the wall. There's no way we can build a wall. I mean, Mr. Negative, Negative Nancy and Negative Norman. I know Norman's weird. That's the only name I can think of. Amen. But them two negative people, them two negative rascals, they sit on every church. They in every church. Always that crowd saying, we can't. We shouldn't have. I can't believe we've done this. Maybe we shouldn't have done this. Can I just tell you this? They did it when we was building this church. I had people mock outside of this church. I had people making fun. Said we tore down the church. Didn't have but $68 in the bank account. Y'all remember that? Hey, I was just trusting God. We didn't waylaid God a long time. Finally just surrendered. Felt like God pinned us up against the mat and said, you'll do it now. And so we had to do it. And thank God, walking by faith, folks might mock us and made fun. But inside the church, there was some stuff going on. And people said, well, maybe we shouldn't have. Maybe we couldn't have. But thank God we're sitting in a beautiful church. Thank God we got a steeple on the church. I say hallelujah. It was Satan that started doubting because Sanballat started speaking. Here's the sad thing. It's there was a crowd in the people of God who was listening to what the devil said. Amen. Hallelujah. See, I call this Satan dividing, Satan speaking or dumping. Don't let your ear be a trash can. It's a sad thing when that's all you listen to. Don't quit, church. You cause you to quit if all you do is look at the rubbish. It'll cause you to quit. It'll cause you Sunday school teachers to get plumb fed up. Here's what you need to ask yourself, three things. Number one, do I hinder the work of God? Do I hinder the work of God? The Bible says, let your speech be all the way with grace. Season with salt that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Doesn't it say something about ministering grace to the hearers? Does what you say minister to grace to those who are hearing you talk? If it don't, shut up. How about that right there? That's preaching 2019, first Sunday of February. Shut your mouth if you can't say nothing good. That's what grandma used to say. Can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all. It ain't no new thing. It's just we forget about it sometimes. We ought to say good things rather than bad things. Does what you're saying hinder the Lord's work? God help, I hope not. Does what you're doing help the Lord's work? I hope so. I hope so. Does what you're doing and saying honor the Lord's work? I don't want to be a hinderer. I want to be a helper. A helper means here's my hand. Let me, what can I hold? Here's my hand. What can I do? Here's my foot. What can I do? Not stuff like this. Not stuff. I can't believe I can't believe this. We had water issues and steeple issues. I can't believe we still have a meeting. Why wouldn't we have a meeting? It's God that put the meeting in position for me. Amen. Amen. Oh, God, we got all these people. They're going to have to feed them. My Lord, I'm going to tell you this. If about 90% of them eat a crackers, if you'll give it to them. They just want to come to church. Quit being a hinderer and start being a helper. And if you can't help, shut up. Somebody say amen. Amen. It'd be better off say hallelujah. Just say hallelujah. Amen. He'll start it, brother. He'll try to cause trouble inside out. He couldn't do it from the outside in. So he jumped right on Judah. Got to speaking. And they got to listening. Look what the Bible says. Verse 11. Our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. You see here, if the devil can't cause trouble just by what Judah says, then he'll cause danger. I'm telling you, if you don't believe what I'm saying, you ain't done nothing for God. The devil always wants to point out danger. I remember, Brother Ken, we went down there and had Christian Law Association had us come down there and to a little meeting, had all the pastors come around and they was trying to tell us and encourage us, you know, that's what I thought, whether we should, you know, how to do buses and stuff and vans. We was running vans during Bible school
And eventually, one of them just got up there and said, I tell you, the best, safest way for a church to do is not even have a bus or a van. And I stood up and said, well, I'll tell you this, I ain't going with y'all. I'm going to go what God says. Amen. All they want to do is point out danger. I know there's an element of danger. There was an element of danger when we got up there on the top of that roof. There was the damage when they got in there in that attic. There's an element of danger in everything you do for the glory of God. My God, there's an element of danger. You're riding by bullets about 60 to 80 miles an hour and only 6 inches separating you. But you still go to shopping and you still go to work. Is everybody okay? You got to weigh out the risk versus what the benefit is. And what's the benefit? Come and thank God doing something for the glory of God. It's going to see souls saved and lives changed. The walls are going to be built. The gates are going to be set up. Hallelujah. Messiah's walking in one day. And we got to have the walls up and the gates up. Because one day Jesus is going to die outside the gate and outside the wall. And it's got to be there for him to die outside of it. Amen. Amen, preacher. Amen. They didn't even know that. They knew Messiah's coming. They didn't realize all that. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God, he giveth us this word. You see what they did, what he reminded them was, look at verse 14. He said, I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, to the rulers, and to the rest of the people. Nehemiah said, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren. Your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Amen. Church, is there not a cause in the church? Stand up, men. Stand up for a minute, all you men. Look around all these women. Look around these youngins. I'm telling you, there's a cause. Thank y'all. There's a cause. All you women, stand up. Ain't they? Look at these girls. Keisha, y'all stand up. Look at these other men. Look at these young girls. There's a cause. Thank y'all. There's a cause, church. Praise God. If it's making mud, if it's holding a lantern, whatever, if it's cleaning off brick, whatever it is, just get busy. There's a fight. And it's a good fight. But don't forget, it's the Lord fighting for you. That's what he said. He said, the Lord's fighting for us. And he says, the Lord's blessed us. He's blessed us with children. He's blessed us with houses. He's blessed us with wives. He's blessed us with sons. He's blessed us with daughters. And the church of God has blessed you with that. Then thank God there's a reason. I want to try to give you two more before we dismiss till tonight. He's about, I want to get to them last ones, but I got to save them for tonight. Here's one that causes trouble. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren. It wasn't just discouragement in the ranks. Now there's discord in the ranks. Church, Proverbs 6, verse 14. Proverbs 6, verse 19. In those two lists in chapter 6 of the book of Proverbs, that God lists things that he hates. And there's only one thing that's in both lists, and it is simply this. God hates those who sow discord. He hates the sowers of discord. I'm going to tell you right now, if you are guilty of sowing discord in Landrum Independent Baptist Church, and I find out a good, solid way, I'm going to stand you up in front of everybody. I'm going to stand you up in front of everybody. I've done it before, and I'll do it again. It ain't going to happen in Landrum Independent Baptist Church. That's why we got a sweet fellowship here. That's because we know we ain't nothing but weak, feeble, and we're just few, but we've got a Father that fights for us. Amen. And we've got a family that's worth fighting for and a faith that's worth believing and standing for. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless the Lord, my soul. So be aware. If I find out about it, you're going to be brought for the church. Because that's the way Matthew 18 tells us to do. Is everybody okay? That's scriptural. Amen. Bible said God's people had, this is what it, God's people were against God's people. Cliques had formed and cliques had fought against other cliques. Here's the clique we're of. We're the clique of Christ. And if you perceive there's cliques, that's because you keep yourself outside of it. Anybody that wants to go visiting with me is welcome to go visiting with me. I'd love for you to.
I get wore out trying to find somebody sometimes. I'm telling you the honest to God truth. If you want to jump in, jump in. You want to cook, I'm going to tell you, if you want to do something and feel like you're being left out, we've got a jubilee coming up. You can clean every day. You got walls you can wipe down. There's cooking that's going to go every day at 5 o'clock. We're going to have a meal every day at 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall. You can do something. I said you can do something. Somebody say amen. You can do something. It's a sad thing that everybody wants to do something, but it ain't what the preacher needs them to do. It ain't what somebody else, it ain't what God will have them to do. Amen, preacher. That's exactly right. You know what the devil loves? The devil loves church fighting. The devil loves church fusses. He loves fighting. He loves fussing. He loves it. Especially when it's about money. I'm going to tell you the devil loves fussing about money. And that's what chapter 5 is about. Chapter 5 is about people who had gave up everything they had, mortgaged their houses, mortgaged their land, mortgaged themselves into slavery. And the people who they had sold all their goods to were not taking it easy on them. They were charging usury, and they weren't supposed to do that to the brethren, and they had ended up being slave masters. And I just want to tell you right now, they got out of Egypt because of the grace of God, and they didn't have no reason to keep nobody else in bondage. Somebody preach on, say amen. That's exactly right. And Nehemiah's pointing this out. I'm telling you. He said, well, it's about money. If it's about the money, I tell you what you do. Cut them loose. Give them back everything they have. That's what you need to do. Boy, I like that. I'm talking about amen right there. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, and all that discord that was going on about money and mortgages and men sold as slaves, church fusses and church fights and everything that's going on, it looks like the devil's finally got them. It looks like he's finally trapped them. Oh, but he ain't. Look at verse 8. Chapter, he say, what'd they do, preacher? Nehemiah's preaching again. Thank God. Church, look up in here, preacher, before you read verse 8. It ain't that these things ain't never going to happen. It's when they do, the preacher ought to preach on them, and it ought to be nipped in the bud. If he's got a backbone at all, and if he don't, and you go somewhere and you're just visiting today, quit over yonder and get somewhere where you can hear the truth. Because this Bible says what happened. He started preaching in verse number 8. He said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And we even sell your brethren, or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing answer. You know what that is? That's a word picture of the word repentance. You know what repentance is? It's mean you ain't got nothing to say. But it's because. But it's them. But no. It's just me. I'm guilty. I ain't got a word to say. Ain't that what he says over in Romans chapter number 3? That every mouth may be stopped and that all the world become guilty before God. That's what's happening right here. I ain't got nothing to say. I've got no defense. I am guilty. You're exactly right. You know what happened. You know how they got help, church. You know how they moved forward in spite of the discord, in spite of the mocking, in spite of the danger that the enemy tried to make them feel. You know how they kept building. Here's how they kept building. Repentance. They say, hey, I'm guilty. It's my fault. I looked at things wrong. I should have kept my... What he realized here, what this crowd realized here is the proverbial chickens had finally come home to roost, and they were messing everywhere, and they were going to have to get rid of it, and they were finally convicted. They were finally condemned. It's me. It's me. I ain't got a word to say. Yes, you're right. So number one, they repented. Number two, there was restoration. Look at 11 and 13. The Bible said, restore, I pray you. He's still preaching. To them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olives, their houses. Also, the 100th part of the money and of the corn and the wine and of the oil that you exact of them. He said, I'm not telling you to keep your just amount. Keep your just amount. But you give them back 100th of it. Well, Jeremy, there was restoration. They realized, wait a minute, we're not supposed to be bondmen. We're supposed to be freemen. We're not supposed to keep. No. And then there was a resumption of the work. Look at verse 16.
The Bible said in verse number 16, yea, also I continued in the work of this wall. Neither brought we any land. Amen. And all my servants were gathered thither under the work. Hey, you know what he said? Thank God. I believe this. I've heard a lot of preachers use this text, and it is true. In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed that the church would be one. He wants us to be of one mind and one accord. It is a beautiful thing when the brethren dwell together in unity. He wants us to be for each other. He wants us to be against the world, but he wants us to be for each other. And that's why some people, we ought to be so tight-knit that people come up to you and say, well, you act like the only family you got's the church family. When you start hearing that, then you're getting where you need to be. You're getting where you need to be. And that ain't it at all. But that's the way they'll perceive it because of the closeness. We ain't going to dare let nobody talk about it. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm not going to do it. There ain't nobody going to talk about the sheep in here. I ain't going to let it go on. It ain't going to happen. I let the wolves howl and the lions roar and the bears claw. I'm telling with all I got within me, for the Lord to help me, I'm going to use this old stave right here, this stick. I'm going to throw some rocks, the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to swallow in the water and hole, and I'm going to trust God to handle the results. If the Lord help me, I'm going to trial on. I'm going to hold a spear and fight on, and then I'm going to look back and say, there's one bigger than me fighting for me. Hallelujah. Church, I'm going to say, we got a wall to build. There's rubbish around here. Oh, rebellious children. They look like rubbish. The world don't want them. I run into a guy the other day. Hallelujah. Had tattoos all over him. I almost did everything but beg him to come to church. I said, glory to God, you'd feel welcome here. I promise you, you'd feel welcome here. Miss Rhonda had a lady come in there to the bookstore just yesterday. Had earrings all over her head and piercings everywhere. And she had a baby carriage and ended up buying some stuff. And as she's going out, she told Miss Rhonda, she said, I almost didn't come in. I was afraid that somebody was going to judge me. She said, but I just got saved. And God's working on me. And I'm trying to grow. Boy, thank God. I'm looking for that. She invited her to church. I'd love to see her come in. Thank God. I didn't care if she had so many. She looked like a chandelier. By the time God gets done, she'll be transformed and changed. Woo! I'd say, why do you know that, preacher? Because I know what he did for me. And he's no respecter of person. There's room on the wall for you. And there's room on the wall for her. Amen. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Thank God. He'll try and discord. He'll try to get folks mocking. They'll laugh at you. They'll mock you. You ever had people laugh at you for what you believe? Boy, they did. It didn't start with you. It happened back here. But if we'll repent, we'll do some restoration, we can resume the work God has for us. I want to say this. Give you one more in closing. I've got four more. I'll give you the last three tonight, Lord will. I want you to be back tonight because there's one serious one that's in our chapters. And you're going to have to be here because you need to be reminded that it happens to other people too. Oh, listen to me. This right here is one of them right here. Diversion. Look at chapter 6, verse number 1. I called. This one got on me so bad the other day, I had to call Brother Ken. And I ain't going to tell you none of the backstory, but I'm going to tell you, I was trying to protect Brother Ken. I'm trying to love on Brother Ken. God's got to work over in Far City. I know. You don't see no kids here. But actually, there's two precious little grandbabies right here. I got one runner. Thank God, and both believers. Hallelujah. They right here on this. They workers for Jesus. Hey, man, right here they are. And they went with Papa. Even though they couldn't get nobody to come to the door. Even though it looked like it wasn't making no progress. Why? Oh, I'm sure the devil rode his back. I'm sure he tried to tear him up. From the inside to the outside, might as well just. But I'm glad there's a work, Brother Ken. There's a hot dog stand that's supposed to be where it's at. And don't need nobody to divert you, amen, or distract you. Here's the other one, chapter 6, verse 1, distraction. Look right here. Now it came to pass when Sabbath and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein. Though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. Y'all stop right there. The wall's built, the gates ain't up. Notice how many's there. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem.
the world, the flesh, and the devil. Right there. Right there. Are y'all with me? That, look at verse 2. Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages and the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. First of all, I want to say this. I don't want to end up conversing or cohorting with the devil and the world in no valley named Ono, because I don't want to get to a place and say, oh no. Are y'all with me? Yes, sir. This is what they're saying. Come, take a break from the work. Take a break from, you deserve a break. Take a break from the work. Come on down here. Let's talk. Let's have a conference. Matter of fact, we just need you to compromise on some things. You ain't got to quit the work. He said, let's come over here. Let's have a little conference. Let's have a little talk. Hey, it's distracting him from the work. And this is what he said. We got to be aware of his schemes. We can't be taken off guard. The devil wants to set a trap. You ain't got no business conversing with the world, church. You ain't got no business scheming up with the devil. Don't listen to what he says. Don't go. Don't quit. Don't compromise. Here's what he wanted Nehemiah to do. Just come down just for a little bit. Meet me in the valley of Ono. That ought to be a red flag right there. Don't go to Ono. I've been in the valley of Ono. I've been to the places of Ono, and I would to God I hadn't went. Take my advice. Don't go to Ono, or you're going to say, oh, no. I didn't know I could get in this fouled up shape. It's the grace of God. All of us are still in church. It's the grace of God. We're still shouting the victory, reading the Bible and praying. It's the grace of God. Don't cohort, converse, and have a conference with the world and the devil. Don't be distracted from where God has planted you. You know what Nehemiah told him? Nehemiah said, oh, here's how he combated that. Look at chapter 6, verse number 4. Yet they sent unto me four times. Now I'm going to tell you, the devil's going to work on you. He sent four times. Now the fifth time we'll get to later on tonight. He's going to send to him a fifth time. But he sent to him four times. In chapter 6, verse number 4. And I answered them after the same manner. He said, what did he say? He said in verse number 3. I sent messages unto them saying, I'm doing a great work. Now y'all would have had to read chapter 2. You remember I told you Sanballat came in chapter 2 when he's mad about them even planning to build the walls. And he mocked them and laughed them to scorn, and he couldn't get them to quit. But Nehemiah told that crowd, we've got a good work. Yeah. But in chapter 6, he's done been involved a minute.
Yeah.
I'm saying it blowed up on him.
Yeah.
A light, a greater light.
Right.
Are y'all fine? It got real big on him. And the further I go, it's getting bigger. Woo! It's a great work, he said. And so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Whilst I leave it and come down to you. Church, don't get distracted by the glimmer and the flashiness of the world. They will have you compromised. They will get you little by little. Don't quit. You know where God's put you, in the hot dog ministry. You know where God's put you. Thank God on a pew. You know where God's put you, cleaning the church. Don't compromise. Don't quit. Don't stop. It's a good work, but it gets bigger. It's a great work. And he said, why should it cease? I want to ask you today, and Lord willing, we'll continue tonight. Jacob, you come. I want to ask you today, and for those of you who may not be back tonight, there's going to be some things that come up. And if you're not here, Satan may get you in them last three. The first thing I'm going to deal with tonight is defamation. He's trying to discredit the leader. That'll happen. If you don't watch it, Satan will discredit your pastor. Do his best. He'll convince you in your mind lies about your preacher. He'll convince your mind lies about your Sunday school teacher. He'll convince you of lies about your own wife, your own husband. You better be back tonight. Oh, listen to me, church. I'm concerned that the devil's talking. Is that preacher concerned you? Well, he's always talking. But what concerns me is we listening. That's what concerns me. It ain't just Satan, it's these schemers. These that have been discouraged and said, well, we just can't do it. There ain't no sense, we just can't do it. Church, I'm going to tell you, I've been real worried about it. Even here recently. Whether could we do it or not? Door rotting. Arm rails rotting. Water busting through the block. Can we do the steeple or not? Well, she's up there. God made a way. That's a physical thing. Sometimes God does the seemingly impossible physical things just to show you what he can do in the spiritual thing. Some of you right here may feel like you're in danger. The devil's got you fearful. And I may get to it tonight, but just remember this. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and a power and of sound mind. It's as good a day to raise a kid for the glory of God as it is any day. Don't listen to the TV media. I wouldn't bring no kid in this world. It don't look like it's changed much. Devil's still the same. Media don't run my marriage. My master does. They mock you, make fun of you, laugh you. Laugh at the workmanship. Laugh at the work. Feeble. Just a few. Just a handful. But ain't you glad? There's always a few that'll keep right on laboring. Every time he would try something else, they would encourage themselves, had the mind to work, and get back to building. When old Satan tried the danger thing, they just amped up the protection. Said half of them went to carry nothing but the spear. Daylight to dark. Preacher, come on. Just seems like a mess. Well, I know what he's dealing with me. I'll tell you this. There's a work of the church. There's a warfare of the church. But there's a wonder of the church. Church, we've got work to do. And we've got a warfare to fight. But what the world needs to see is the wonder of the church. What keeps them going? What keeps them moving? What keeps them fighting? Church, I want to do like Nehemiah. Fight for your brethren. Fight for your wife. Fight for your houses. Fight for all the blessings that he's blessed you with. Because if he had his way, the world, the devil, and the flesh, they'd rob you of all of it. So work on. Preach on, preachers. Teach on. Don't quit. It looks like rubbish, but God's going to raise up some walls. Some of you Sunday school teachers I know get discouraged. One or two in your class, only some of them show up half the time. Half the time they ain't there. It gets discouraging. I know it does. Just keep coming. Just keep teaching. Boy, God's going to help you. It don't matter what you got going on. I can tell you this. No matter what it is, let me remind you, the Lord fights for you. His hand is on you. His hand is under you. Father, we love you today.